Return policies. Organizations need to set policies for how and when returns will be accepted and communicate these policies to all customers. Many firms actually print their return policy on the reverse side of their sales receipts or invoices so that customer expectations are set from the start. Some companies make a deliberate decision to not accept returns from customers, commonly referred to as a zero returns policy. Instead, they may offer a return rate allowance and specific discount offers. Another approach might be to accept only defective returns. On the other hand, many retail organizations promote liberal returns policies, for example, allowing returns of any unbroken item with no reason needed, given just a receipt or the credit card used to make the purchase. This is a strategic decision to prioritize customer service and thus encourage customer loyalty. The costs and benefits of these policies need to be measured over time. For business-to-business returns, a lot-size return policy might make sense. This requires corporate customers to hold returns until full truckload quantities can be sent to make transportation more economical. However, it must be noted that holding returns until they are lot-size may cause operational issues at the receiving organization, requiring excessive amounts of space and labor to unload and sort the bulk returns when they come in. In a business-to-consumer example, Dell allows products to be returned only after the customer speaks directly with a customer service representative called a gatekeeper. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary partially defines gatekeeping as the vetting of return materials and issuing of return material authorizations in accordance with the organization's returns policy. The intent is to minimize returns and return costs while managing customer interactions and expectations to maintain intended customer service levels. While there is a cost for this direct support, the representative is given the opportunity to provide instructions on how to properly set up the device, upsell support devices or exchanges for more expensive models, or otherwise talk the customer out of the return. This is cost-effective for Dell because it results in a 5% level of returns. Another part of a return policy is who has responsibility for the costs that are involved. According to Grieve and Davis, authors of An Executive's Guide to Reverse Logistics, several factors influence which party pays for the shipping of product returns. It may depend upon what was specified in the original terms of sale between the parties. When a product that is recalled can be repaired or restored to proper working condition, the manufacturer absorbs the repair costs. If it's a product that is not working properly, but is not a recalled item, and it is still under warranty, once again, the manufacturer pays the costs. If it's not a recalled product and the product is not under warranty, the customer typically pays the repair costs. Note that warranties are often verified by checking the serial number on the product against the serial number recorded on the product's terms of sale.